I appreciate the reading, and good to see everybody's here this morning. I know we have those that are sick, I know we have those that are away, but for everyone who's here, and especially for our visitors, we're really glad you're here. And we want to welcome you to come back at every opportunity you have. We are talking about this year, fulfilling my purpose. And in particular, this quarter, we're looking at the idea of fulfilling my purpose in my recreation. As we've gone through this year, it probably was very easy to understand why we might talk about fulfilling my purpose in my church, which was the first quarter. And then certainly as we transition to talking about the family, we can see that we all have a role and we have a purpose to fill there. Even in our work, that it is important for a Christian to work. And even in our secular work, that is away from church, the jobs we do every day, it's important that we conduct ourselves as Christians and our dealing. It probably was not as readily understandable why we might devote time to talking about our recreation until you begin to understand, as Wes was talking about last Sunday, the high priority that's placed upon recreation in the lives of people today, how recreation is emphasized, how Sunday has become a day for most people where they do not first think about church. Of course, you do. You're here. But most people do not first consider church on a Sunday. It would rather be football or the activities of their family or whatever they might be doing today, but certainly not God and not church. And so as we begin to focus on all those ideas of recreation, we understand that a Christian has a place to fill even in a world that is increasingly devoted to recreation. Now furthermore, a Christian might back away from that and begin to say of himself or herself, that's not what we are supposed to do as Christians. What we're supposed to do as Christians is to work. Anietti just read for us a passage in Galatians 6 that says, be not weary in well-doing. And so the idea of doing what's right, of doing good things as you have opportunity, etc. We're going to emphasize that verse this morning. But the idea of working and doing work as a Christian and doing good work as a Christian and never tiring from that, and thus, in the extreme view of some theologians, there would never be a place in this life for recreation, so all of this would be moot that we're talking about this quarter. Obviously, I don't agree with that. I believe that the Bible does teach us the proper place of recreation. And so as we look at this morning, the idea of be not weary in well-doing, and we're going to talk about that verse, so let's just go to that. Galatians chapter 6, and you may want to turn back to that, or you can just look at it up on the screen here. I'm going to loosely translate this passage. I say loosely translate, I'm going to loosely quote the King James Version, but I'll do a different translation in a place or two. But let's read it together again, just verses 9 and 10. And in doing good, and that's the idea, the well-doing of the King James Version, doing good, doing what's right. And in doing good, let us not grow weary, for in due time, that is in the time to come, we will reap if we do not give out. Or as the King James talks about, if we do not faint. Or some translations will say something like, if we do not tire out or grow tired. But that's the idea, if we do not give out. Therefore then, as we have opportunity, we should work. Doing good toward all, but especially toward those of the household of faith. Now, as we look at this passage, we'll focus especially on verse 9 this morning. Be not weary in well-doing. So, in doing good, everything that we do as a Christian that is a good thing to do. Now, that can be a fulfilling a commandment or obeying a commandment from the Bible. Or it can just be the principles in the Bible, such as provide for your family is a good thing. You know, all of that sort of thing. But doing good. The Bible specifically says, in doing good, let us not grow weary. Now, it means exactly what it says. It's telling you as you go about your life doing good, doing what's right, don't ever get tired from it. Don't grow tired. Don't grow weary from it. And maybe when you read that, immediately you begin to say, am I really doing? Am I obeying that? Well, let's go a little bit further. Because Paul goes on to say, for in due time, that is, there is a time to come, we will reap from doing all of that good. As Anietti read for us, if we go back to verses 7 and 8 especially, it tells us if we sow in a certain way, we reap. So we will reap And then notice again he stresses, if we do not give out. When I was a lot younger and I would preach this passage, I believed it to be saying, and so I would try to say, and sometimes connect it, and I'm not going to go there this morning, but you may want to this afternoon read Hebrews chapter 4. There remains a rest for us as Christians. And I would tie these two passages together, and this is what I would say, I would preach, you ought to literally go about your life doing good, if you can, 24 hours a day, doing good deeds, doing the things God would have you to do. Your rest will come in the future. It remains for you. It is there for you. It is in heaven for you. Don't ever tire from doing good. Don't ever give out from it. Look forward to the time that you'll go to heaven and rest. But as I've grown older, and as I've come to understand that this passage, in a sense, presents what would technically be called a situational irony. Meaning that the situation it poses, let me get technical for just a second here. The situation it poses is ironic because the outcome that comes from, naturally comes from doing good, is that you get tired. You do grow weary. And if you keep on persisting in doing good, you could do it, you could start right now, and for the next 24 hours, run out there and find good deeds, and I promise you, at some point, you will give out. And so there's a situational irony here, because we get tired. As Christians, even from doing good, we get tired. And still, there is always more to do. The older you get, I think you realize this, you understand this, you come to fully, you come face to face with the fact that, hey, you're running out of time. I'm getting older, there's only so much time. The truth is, life is a vapor, like a puff of steam, and it's and gone. And there's all this that I want to do and need to do and that needs to be done. And I'm running out of time. I might be working harder than I've ever worked. My body is telling me, you can't do that. You ain't 20 years old anymore. You know? I mean, it was beautiful, wasn't it? Remember when I talked about the lesson in procrastination? When I was going to school, and I was in seminary in those, you know, master's level classes and all of that, and you got this 50-page paper to write. You know, 50 pages. I knocked that out. Stay up 3-4 days, knock it out. Now, when I've been up 10, 12 hours working, body is saying, we're going to bed. It's just a different time in life. You get tired. And it can be that you've been doing good all day long. But you're tired, and there's always more to do. Now, you'll notice I asked the question, or is there? Because when you go back to the passage and you notice verses 9 and 10 together, do good, don't grow weary, you'll reap if you don't give out. But then Paul immediately says, therefore then, there are two conclusion words piled together. The Greek language does this, English doesn't always, but a best way to translate this would be something like this, so then, therefore then. As we have opportunity. And that's the point, isn't it? If I'm worn out, do I really have opportunity to do good? You know, the older I've gotten, the more I've realized that when I used to sit around and look at older people and how they might be watching a movie or even whatever, just doing anything practically, they could nod off. And as a little kid, I laughed. And when I got older, I kind of looked at them and I had a little compassion about it. And I thought, boy, you know, I hope I don't ever get there. Guess what's happening to me now? Yeah. Sitting at my desk a couple of weeks ago. I'm staring at my computer screen and I felt myself doing this. And I'm like, oh no. Do you have opportunity? If your body is demanding you rest, do you really have opportunity to keep working? And I'm going to suggest to you, no. That what the Bible is saying in passages like Galatians 6 is do good. Don't grow weary from it. And we're going to talk about what that means in just a second here. Don't give out from it. But the point is, in a practical sense, the work needs to come as you have opportunity. When you're tired, you don't have opportunity. Because the way God created us, there is a time to rest. And God means for us to do that. So as we have opportunity, we should work. Let me go further with that and point something out. And I know we all understand this. Now, I tried to find the best example I could find of a funnel. That's what that's supposed to be. A funnel and, of course, draining down into something. But it illustrates what I want to say here. As human beings, we get physically tired. Now, God made us that way. There's no way in the world you can avoid going to sleep. You may want to, and as a young person, you may be really good at not sleeping for a while. You know, I watch Juliet, and it's incredible. You know, I mean, I watch young people. I remember that time. Okay? But even young people get tired. Even the youngest of children can run, and then they literally almost pass out. You get physically tired. You can get fatigued if you don't pay attention to your body and give it, as we call it, the proper rest. But you know what else it leads to? When you're working, feeling the pressure to work, not properly resting and so forth, you can get to a point where there's just emotional fatigue. And you realize that you find yourself not just saying, I'm tired. But you move from that into feeling tired. Now, I'm not talking about, oh, it's bedtime, I need to go to bed. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you've gotten up from a night's rest or sleep at least, and you're going through your day, and what you find yourself feeling is tired. I'm tired. And you can even get to the point, if you don't give yourself the proper rest, and we all know this is so, you can get to the point where you're saying to yourself, I don't want to do whatever it is I've got to do. Now that's when it becomes dangerous. When you're going through a day and you're doing your job, or you're raising your kids, or you're doing whatever it is you've got to do, that is right to do, and you find yourself feeling, I don't want to. That starts being dangerous. And if you let it go to the point of emotional fatigue, you will get so tired emotionally, you really will not want any longer to do the things you've got to do, and you progress, or digress, to mental fatigue. Now there is a difference. The emotional fatigue can be overcome. I don't want to. I know I've got to. I don't want to. That's like having an assignment when you're in school and you really don't want to do it, but you know you've got to, so you just bear it and do it. But this is when you get to the point where you begin to rationalize, when you begin to reason that you will not do what it is you have to do because you're just too tired. And you begin to say to yourself, I don't want to do this. Life is too short. I'm not going to do this. And hey, here are all the reasons why I should not do that. Now that's what I believe God is talking about when He says, be not weary. Don't give out from doing good. Don't let it get to the point where you're not just tired and you need to take a break. But you've started, the emotions have started that said, I don't want to do this anymore. And now you're even reasoning why you will not do this anymore. It's called, in many circles, burnout. I'm burned out. I've been doing this thing for this long. I'm tired. I don't want to do it anymore. And you know what? I'm not going to do it anymore. And this is why I'm burned out. And if burnout goes long enough, you will stay there. And you will never return to being that productive individual again. And the reason why, here's a technical definition of burnout. It's the condition of someone who has become very physically and emotionally, mentally is the idea, tired after doing a difficult job for a long time. You're just plain overworked. Sometimes, now I've wondered when I've seen people, great people, faithful people, strong people, just give up. And I've wondered what happens in the mental process that takes an individual from doing good, perhaps being one of those people that you admire, you respect, they're even sacrificial, they do the work of God, and you want to live up to that example. What takes such a person from that and brings them over here to a person that's just totally given up God? And that has to be part of it. And if you begin to talk to those people, somewhere in their conversation, if they give you the reasons why, and I have with some, if they give you the reasons why, they will begin to talk about, I got tired. I got tired of this, and I got tired of that, and I just plain got tired. And then I realized, you know, do I really want to be doing this? And I finally told myself, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. And then I began to say, should I really do this with my life? Should I waste my life doing this when I really don't want to, and when it wears me out, it's just not good for me anymore? And I got burned out. And that's what a Christian cannot let happen. Go back, if you're looking at Galatians 6, or go back to it and think about what it is saying. Be not weary in well-doing. In doing good, let us not grow weary. What is that saying to me as a Christian? Michael, you've got a responsibility. And that responsibility is to keep yourself from giving out. God would not have you push yourself, even in doing good. He would not have you push yourself beyond human limits so that you wear out from it, because then you're not going to be productive for Him. Then you're not going to do the job for Him. You're going to burn out, you're going to be weary in well-doing, and you won't be doing what God wants you to do. So, that brings us to recreation, doesn't it? It brings us back to the definition that we began with. And that was that recreation is an activity of leisure. You know, the things we do in our discretionary time, whether we quilt, or we sew, or we, you know, we play a sport, or we go, what is that thing you guys did, mutter? We go do a mutter. If you don't, you know, ask Wes and Everton about that. But whatever it is we do, we take time, discretionary time, and we do it. We do it for relaxation. We do it for amusement. We do it for physical exercise, pleasure, enjoyment. We do it just to have fun. But what we're really doing, go back to the original definition. It comes from the Latin. We are recreating. We are restoring, refreshing. And you feel that way. Man, when you walk away from something that you've been doing where you've just given everything you've got, mind, emotion, etc. to it, and you go away from that and you do something that's just fun. Just amusing for a little while. It's a diversion. And what happens is, notice the third bullet point up here, you come back refreshed. You're ready to hit it again. You got that renewed sense of, let me get back to work. And you enjoy it. Sometimes when we come back from a vacation, I love the vacation. I love time with my family. Absolutely love it. But when I come back and I sit down there at the desk again or whatever, and I get back to work, I hit it with a new vigor. I'm refreshed. I'm ready to get at it again. Now, I know you felt that too. That's the point of recreation. So it is considered by those that look at this kind of thing for a living and are experts at it, it is considered, and notice the last line here, an essential element. Now, I'm not quoting somebody there, but the point is being taken from those who know. It's essential to us. It is essential to our biology. Just as much as you have to sleep or die. It's essential to your biology and it's essential to your psychology. You cannot totally focus on something, some problem, some work, some task, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's not possible as human beings. You need to divert away from it. And that's the place of recreation. So we ask the question again, we asked from the beginning, and we'll give a slightly different answer here, but should Christians take time for recreation? Remember I pointed out in John 9 and verse 4 that Jesus said, I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work. Now that's a principle. And what it's saying to me, what it's saying to you, is just like with Jesus, it is saying you've only got so much time.
And you're either going to do the work while you're alive, or it ain't going to get done. You will never do it. You will get to a point where you're too old or you're too dead, and you will not be able to do anything anymore. And that's just the point. We know that. So Jesus was saying, you got to work while you got time to work. And so that brings us back to Galatians 6. And as we've looked at this morning, what we've said about it is, as you have opportunity, and that opportunity has to include those times of rest. And then, as much opportunity as you have, do as much good as you can possibly do. And we go back in asking this question, we go back and consider some of the precedents that we've looked at this quarter. Genesis chapter 2. God, by example, made the world in 6 days, and He rested. And then in Exodus 20, He even commanded, I rested, so you rest. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Now, that's not our commandment any longer, but the precedent is there. God means for us to work, and then He means for us to rest, and then He means for us to go back to work. That's what we would see in the Sabbath day and what God gave. And we see it in Jesus. I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. But in John 4, the Bible expressly tells us in verse 6, He got tired and He sat down. Because He was human. And if Jesus got tired and Jesus needed to sit down, then Michael surely needs to sit down sometime. Stop. Slow down. Take a rest by the well and get refreshed. And that's the idea. He even said to His disciples, I won't turn here again. I've done it a couple of times. They came back. They were all excited. They were working. The people were, you know, just amassing to them. Do more, do more, do more. And Jesus said, separate from the people. Go out into a secluded place and rest a while. Now, that's Jesus' command. And I want you to look at one other passage with me this morning because this is interesting. Go with me to Mark 14. Now, we've already read, Everton read a part of Mark 14 for us earlier. Well, let's go back earlier in this story and let's look at verse 3. And let's notice that it was the Passover meal. This was a feast God had set aside. And they came together to observe this Passover meal. And I want you to notice something interesting in verse 3. And I'm going to make a point to our modern society. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat. Some of your translations may say, as he reclined at table. There came a woman having an alabaster box of ointments, spikenard, very precious. She broke the box, poured it on His feet, and that led to Judas' whole thing, all of that. But as you look at this passage, and you look at verse 3, you realize that in the mindset of these people, in the language of these people, to eat a meal, to even observe a feast day, they sat at meat, quote unquote. They reclined at table. It occurred to me when I was looking at this verse a few weeks back, thinking about this particular lesson. There was a time when people worked hard in this country. Now, I'm not saying that we don't still. I know there are a lot of you that work hard. But there was a time when people worked hard, but when it came time for meal, especially dinner, they stopped, they let the animals rest, they came in the house, and they sat at meat. They reclined at table. What do I mean by that? They took time to eat. Let me tell you what they were not doing. What they were not doing was running by McDonald's, running through the drive-thru, ramming the sandwich down their throat as fast as they could, while they talked on the phone, continuing to conduct their business to go back to work and do the same thing. They did not do that. They've dropped the reins of the mule in the field, some of them literally. They came in and sat down at the table and they relaxed. We've lost that to a great degree. We eat because we need fuel. We look at it as a necessary evil, but it's just another one of those little things in life we've lost that helps us to rest. I think studies will show, and people, you can go and read this for yourself. Studies show that people that take even 15, 20 minutes and stop working during the day to eat are far more productive when they come back. Get way more done than if they just kept working right through the 15 minutes. I'll leave it at that.
1 Timothy chapter 4 teaches us recreation, physical exercise, etc. It has profit. Compared to the eternal things, you know, the good works we do and the profit they have, it's a little profit, but it is profitable. So, considering the precedents, should Christians take time for recreation? We should. And I believe God is teaching us in these passages to do that. So when we consider recreation, let me close with this statement. When I consider recreation, like Elijah, and you know the story of Elijah. Let me briefly recount it, and I mean very briefly. But in 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah goes up on Mount Carmel and confronts, to my calculation, at least 850 false prophets. And in confronting those guys, he spends all day long. He challenges the people. I mean, it's the kind of thing you would do that when you get done, you would be pooped. Okay? He comes away from that. He's physically tired. He's probably emotionally and mentally tired. And then Jezebel starts her mess. I'm going to kill him. And so in chapter 19, he takes off. He runs for a full day. Now, that's a marathon. No, he runs for a full day just out of fear. Then he lays down under a tree and he prays to God. And the only thing he says to God is, just let me die. I've had it. I'm tired. And God deals with him the way we would expect God to do. He's very gentle. He takes care of him. He feeds him. He allows him to rest. And then he very gently begins to come to Elijah and say, hey, Elijah, come out here. Let me show you something. He deals with Elijah. That's still small voice. And he gets Elijah ready to go back to work. You let it go too far, and you'll be like Elijah. You will get so tired, so worn out, even emotionally and mentally, that you'll either want to die or quit. And it amounts to the same thing. Unless we think, oh, that's a special case, that's Old Testament, that's a problem. James 5 tells us in verse 17, Elijah was a man. Subject to like passions, the same feelings as you and me. And what that's saying in very simple terms is, if it could happen to Elijah, it can sure happen to me. You got to watch out for it. You got to be on guard for it. So it's possible to get worn out, even while doing good. And it's possible. And the truth is, it will be so. You will need to recuperate. Recharge, refocus, relax, rejuvenate. All those terms which mean you'll need to recreate. You need recreation. God understood that. He refreshed Elijah. And God would have us to be sensible. And not devote ourselves to recreation, but use it. Use it in the proper manner so that we can be more effective and continue to do the work we need to do for Him. That's the example of Elijah. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, I ask you to look at yourself and to consider yourself before our Lord. If you believe in Him, if you know that He's the Son of God, and you're willing to give your life to Him, you'll confess your belief, you'll make the commitment to change your life and live your life for Jesus. And if this morning you be baptized, whatever you've done will be washed away. And just like we've been talking about in a sense, you start all over again. You're rejuvenated. You're reborn, literally, in the sight of God. And you know that's also true if you've done all of that and you've lived for a time and your life hasn't been what it needs to be. The Lord would have you to look at your life, to come back to Him, and to say, I need a fresh start. The Lord will cleanse you of your sins. We'll pray together with you. We'd be happy to do that. And you can start all over again. Be like Elijah. If you're worn out, if you've been worn out, then take the time. But be refreshed. And go on with your life serving the Lord. If you need to come, please come. While I dread you in this song.